Tough to follow that. I may need another handkerchief. Paul and Mindy, we love you. Been very gracious to Kim and I. Undeserved hospitality. Paul and Mindy have been telling me for years that I would love their people and that I would love these sister churches that have come, and they didn't sell it short. I do love you. I do love you. You know, believers can say that instantly, can't you? The world, if I wasn't married and saw some pretty lady out there, many prettier than my wife, but she said, "I loved you." You wouldn't believe that, would you? But you can believe that with believers. Instantly. Isn't that amazing? I do. I love you. And these two men, Paul said the same thing. He said, "Do you know them?" I said, "No, I've heard of them. Heard of John, but my mother told me." He said, "Tell John I said hello. He's a sweet man." But I loved him instantly. Paul would write again. Loved him. He said, "You're going to love him." Friend and I were talking recently about the difference between what people hold as doctrine and the truth, the 5 points, among other things. People sometimes, you know, go to that 5 points. But sometimes you try to figure it out. I'm not going to name any names or any branches of people who believe the same thing. But there's a difference sometimes. And this guy, I said, "What's the difference?" And he said, "Well, some men have the letter of grace, but not the spirit of grace." And that's the difference. These two men have the spirit. Paul has the spirit of grace. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Teaching doctrine or feeling the doctrine. Kevin did. John did. Humble. Difference. And I've been privileged. I can't tell you. I can't bring anything that Kevin and John hadn't. Just sort of a rehash. And it is Christ. So if you would, just a few minutes. Matthew 17. And we know what it's like. Let me say one more thing. All of us men who have been, we know the work that has gone into this week. It's tough because we've been there, haven't we? We've done the duty. And I know you're tired, and I appreciate you being here to listen to us this morning. Matthew 17. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart." After 6 days. That tells you something happened prior to this. After 6 days. What happened prior to this? Well, 4 major truths concerning what we hold and believe. 4 major truths happened. Uncompromising things our Lord taught those men prior to this. So let's look back at them. First thing he taught them, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17, who he was. Who am I? That's a vital truth. Who am I? Look at it there. Verse 13, "And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But whom say that ye that I am?" Men say a lot about who Christ is. They say a lot. Who do you say I am? Who am I to you? You and Christ have got to have a personal relationship. You got to. What we say He is, you got to know. You got to know in here. Can't know it up. There's so many. Know it up here. They know the truth up here. They don't know it in here. Who is Christ to you? He asked you that personally. Who am I to you? It must be personal. He asked the Pharisees two different things. He said, what think you, in Matthew 22, he asked the Pharisees, what think you of Christ? They never gave him the answer that Peter's fixing to give him. Like so many give him, he was just a definition. Christ is just a definition. Jesus is just a definition to so many folks. Who am I to you? What think I of Christ? You ever ask yourself that? What think I of Christ? I don't ever want to stop asking me, what think I of Christ? Peter answered, he said, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. You're the Christ. He didn't say you're Jesus. You're the Christ. He already knew. He saw it already. We avoid that title. Nothing wrong, because we know. But we have to be careful. We've been taught for half a century, grace folks, how to be careful about how you use Jesus. You just about have to define. Now, I don't have to define it here because you know I can use it and you'll be fine with it. But I go out there and you just have to say, what Jesus are you talking about when it comes up? Nobody knows much the Jesus we're talking about. Peter answered right. Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. You're the Savior. We know that. He's our Savior. You're the Son of God. You're God. You're my Savior because you're God. Only God could be my Savior. You know, this alone, this knowledge alone is Christianity. It all begins with this doctrine. And this begins all true doctrine. Now, if He's not this to you, you don't know Christ. Now, you may know these two young girls sitting down. I love them. Boy, I'm glad I got to know these two girls. They've had three generations. Think about this. Three generations of the absolute truth. Most of the folks in here, I was blessed. I never knew anything but the truth. So you may know this in different degrees, but you got to know this. If Christ isn't this, if He's not the Savior, the Son of God, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. Here's the second thing. Church's foundation was established. Verse 17 through 20. Jesus answered after Peter's reply, profound reply, and Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. The Father's sovereign choice. We could, like I just said, would tell you all day long who He is, but He's got to reveal Himself to you. And He has. So many in this room, you can just tell. He has. Your faces are bright. You love this. He's done it. I couldn't do it. For flesh and blood hath not revealed unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you, Peter, or thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not on Peter, but on this foundational truth, who Christ is, the church was built. These men, have you ever thought about this? These 12 men were the church. This was it. And from it, these men at Spring, we've been blessed, like I used these girls, we've been blessed to know Pat so much over the years. We're living in the best times to live right now. And we're under the, if you're in a grace church, you're in the best place to be because you know so much. You realize you know more than these disciples knew? Isn't that amazing? We do. Every person in this sitting in here knows, and I'm going to show you in a minute, you understand more than these disciples did. What a blessing. Blessing. Upon this truth, Peter, based on what you just said about me, I'm going to build my church. And what did he say? We had a fellow leave our church several years ago. This is what he said. He said, if we take our families and we pack up and we leave, they'll have to shut the doors of the church. Shut the doors of Christ's kingdom? Man, that's a bold statement to make, isn't it? Wow. He just said the gates of hell won't prevail against, no matter what man's going to try to do. I mean, church may tremble a little bit at times, rock a little bit. It's going to be here. Till Christ comes and gets us out of here, there'll be a church. There'll be a people. May have to run in the woods and hide. Who knows? But there'll be a people. There's going to be a group. He says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are these keys? What are these keys? What are you talking about? It's the gospel. It's the gospel in all of its ingredients. It's a big key ring. It's all the ingredients of the gospel. It's Christ. Who he is, how he works, substitution's a key, one of the keys is redemption, one of the keys is righteousness in him. A lot of keys. That's the keys he gave Peter. He said, Peter, you're going to lead things off. And Peter did at Pentecost. He said, you're going to lead it off. These other men are going to follow you, but here's the keys that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the gospel. And you'll understand more and more of it as time goes on. Here it is. Preach the gospel. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, what in the world does that mean? He said, whatever the requirements of the gospel are, don't compromise them. Don't compromise them for anybody. Have faith in me. Don't you compromise my word. I'll take care of you. Don't you sell me short. Don't sell me for a nickel. Don't compromise these. Not one single key. Don't compromise it. You don't compromise. Whatever you bind in heaven, whoever the Lord is pleased to receive this message with joy, whoever he's pleased to break and humble, he said, they'll be received in heaven. He said, if they reject it, they're rejected in heaven. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Somebody out there will hear it. If they don't want to hear it, don't sell it short. Move on. Move on. If your friends don't want to hear it, don't worry about it. Don't compromise it. Move on. Let the Lord deal with them. He'll bless you for not compromising. Whether you're a preacher or whether he's training horses or whether you're working in a chicken house or whatever you do out there, don't compromise our Lord. And he'll bless you. And then the third thing he teaches these men is he's going to have to suffer. Verse 21 through 23. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer. Suffer. It's going to be a drawn out thing. He's going to have to suffer. It'll be an instant death. It wouldn't be a painless death. What's that for? It's for us. It's for us. Go in and he suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and raised. His kingdom wasn't going to be what these fellas thought his kingdom was going to be. Wasn't going to be. He's going to have to, his kingdom would be a suffering kingdom. His kingdom would be a heavenly one. It's going to be made up of common folks just like me and you and folks that just put on their britches one leg at a time and they're humble and they're not too full of themselves and they exalt Christ. That's His kingdom. And that's what He's going to make. Not going to be a pompous group of people. Going to be a people who get up in the morning and say, Lord, let this day start with You. And if you get through it, you're going to say, Lord, thank You. It's only Your grace that got me through another day. Because we know ourselves. And we're scared to death of ourselves. I am. I'm scared to death of me. I'm scared to death. But that's who He makes His kingdom of. We're just normal folks. Normal people. Like the Master. Like the Master. Luke says he talked about how he would go to the cross, this same narrative. He said, I will accomplish my death. Accomplish. I'll succeed. Had to succeed. He had succeeded. You and I wouldn't be sitting here enjoying His word today, would we? He succeeded. He said, blood's got to be shed. I got to suffer. I got to die. Peter took him aside. Peter was converted, but he took him aside and said this. He said, Lord, be it far from You. This shall not be. He loved the Lord. He just didn't understand, did he? He said, You can't be this way. Can't be this way. Be it far from You to think. The cross, that's the worst way to die. The cross. Peter's like us. I mean, Peter was converted and he knew some truth. And we do. We know some good doctrine, some grace. But don't ever think you know enough doctrine or enough grace. Just keep on digging in there. Keep on listening. Brother Paul is talking about the text he sends out on Monday. Man, y'all take that and dig into it. Dig into it. Learn. Don't ever quit learning. Don't ever think you know enough grace. Then the Lord replies to Peter and to Satan, both of them together. He said, get behind Me, Satan. You're an offense to Me. He's an offense to the cross. You're an offense to Me. For you don't understand. Your mind, Peter, your mind's not in the right place. You savor not the things that be of God, but you're thinking about what men think. Quit doing that. And that's my prayer. Lord, let me think more about what You think about things. Any suggestion, now this is a fact, any suggestion of salvation in any other way than by the cross is of Satan. You mark it down. It's straight from hell. Our Lord said, I must be lifted. I must be. I'm Christ. I must be lifted up. There must be the cross. There must be blood. Must be the death of our Lord. Substitution must be, or you and I have no hope. And be thankful we understand that, truly understand that here, not here, here. Anyone else, any way else, anything else that you ever hear is of Satan. He told Peter, he said, Peter, you learn it, you preach it, and you stick to it. And that's what I pray. Learn it, preach it, and stick to it. And here's the fourth thing. There's a cost. There's a cost of following Christ, the gospel. Verse 24 there, Jesus said to His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. That's a cost. Some of you folks here And know that cost. The cost of the gospel. Some of you, probably like any other congregation, some of you have lost wives because the gospel found you. You didn't find a God because the gospel found you. Probably lost wives. The gospel never found your wife, maybe. Found you, didn't it? They couldn't tolerate it. Or maybe a wife here. The gospel found you, but never found your husband. They're gone. There's cost. Cost. I can't compromise the truth for you to stay. And you know. And it could be worse. It could get worse. Don't compromise it. And let's pray for one another. Because it could be tough at times. I mean, I know some good men I thought were good men. And they just, and I think, Lord, that could be me. Without grace, without you holding me. Don't leave me to myself. Don't let me go. Hold on to me. And then he gets into chapter 17. After this dialogue, then now the Father is going to show these men his glory. He says, I'm going to show you a glimpse of something. And this is going to encourage you to preach. I told you some things that are not so great, but now I'm going to show you some glory. And this will inspire you to preach the gospel. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. I know what part of that is, but his face, the rest of his body stayed the same. But his face shone, and then his clothes. And I don't know, maybe that was just that robe of righteousness, maybe. Maybe it's just a glimpse of it. But his clothes shine. I don't know, maybe y'all study it next week. Somebody call me and let me know. It said Moses and Elijah was with him. Why? Moses had been gone 1,500 years or so and had died. And Elijah had been gone 900 years and didn't die. But these men knew him, didn't they? And that's how we'll be one day. We'll, one day, Paul's going to go into glory, and he's going to see Henry Mahan. But Paul's not going to say, hey, Daddy, like so many out here think. He's not going to say, hey, Dad. He's going to say, hey, Brother Henry, because we'll all be brothers and sisters. He goes, hey, Brother Henry, what have you learned of Christ since you've been up here? That's what the conversation will be. I promise you. If you think it's going to be seeing Mom and Daddy, you miss Christ, because it's going to be all—it's all about Him here, and it's going to be more about Him. Nothing will get in our way up there. But we'll know each other. We'll know each other. It's just going to be brother and sister in Christ. But why was it Moses and Elijah? Well, you know this. Every one of these preachers already preached this, but I'm going to say it again. You know why it's Moses? It's Law and the Prophets. What did they talk about? Christ. Christ. Go back to Luke again. They talked about his death and what he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Gives you a little more detail there, but that's what they talked about. Same thing Christ talked about in the previous chapter, verses 21 through 23 there. Same thing. What's the message of the Law and Prophets? What Luke tell you over in 24? Christ. Christ said, these men, it's going to be fulfilled. Everything that the Old Testament, that the prophets, that the law, the prophets, and the Psalms said regarding me. That's all the old, we know that. That's all it was about. Everything's about Christ. Back then, right now, and in the future, everything's going to be about Christ. If you think heaven's going to be anything else other than Christ, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go. You're going to be disappointed. Not where you want to be. And then Peter again. Peter's like me. Luke said, it's sort of funny, Luke said, Peter not knowing what he was saying. I do that all the time. You know, like so many of us, we have a right to remain silent. We just don't have the ability to. That thing's hot. We don't have the ability to. Peter just didn't have the ability to. And he talked. And sometimes I do the same thing. So I do it a lot of times when I'm preaching. And I'll sneak downstairs maybe or in my truck and I'll run sermon audio backwards because I hate to hear myself talk. And I'll say, did I say that? And I'll say, I did say that. Why did I say that? I do it. Why did I say that? That's not what I meant. Peter, we're all Peters. And that's another prayer. Lord, keep me from saying things I don't need to be saying. Keep my mouth shut, son. All right, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, well, verse 4. Then answered Peter, let me tell you what Peter said, I'm sorry. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles. Peter wanted that to be heaven. There's a lot of folks on earth that would like for earth to be heaven if they could just adjust a few things. That's what they'd like. I love to fish and hunt and fool with cows and horses, and I love to do all that stuff, you know. But there's a lot of folks who love that stuff, and that's what they like heaven to be. They think they're going to go fishing all day. That's what Peter was thinking right here. This is great. Let's just build it right here. Just have heaven on earth. Build three tabernacles. And this the other place he went wrong, one for you. One for Moses, and one for Elias. See how much graciously the Lord has been to us, and we've come so far from that. We know that now, don't we? Christ is all. Christ is all. Moses, Elias, no, they don't have a tent here. They don't have a tent in our heart. Christ has a tent in our heart. Verse 5. While Peter was talking, shouldn't have been. Well, he should have been because that's for our good. Peter spoke for our good. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Our Lord spoke three times of his Son, and every time in the New Testament he spoke of his Son. Hear him. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were afraid. When Isaiah saw his glory, he spoke of him. John, I guess this is the first time John, but John fell a couple of times, didn't he? John fell on his face as a dead man, it says. That's what you do when you see God's glory. Like John was saying the other night, you gotta get lost. You gotta be a sinner before God will ever deal with you in salvation. God's gotta slay you. God's glory will slay a man. If you ever see it, you're not going to jump these pews and foam at the mouth and glory to God, praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. No. Hit the floor, won't you? Hit the floor. Well, better raise your head. What's the lessons that we learned here? Chapter 16. Lessons there with who He is. His church, His death, His gospel. That's what He taught us in chapter 16, those verses, those four things. First seven verses of chapter 17 here was His glory. And that leads us to verse 8. But before that, let's go back just a second to Peter. What if we had gone along? What if our Lord had gone along with Peter? Just what if? What if he had said, okay, let's do that. Let's build that. Let's let these men stay here. Let them work with me. What if he had come down the mountain with both Moses and Elijah? Peter thought that'd be a good idea. He thought it'd be good. Moses could hammer home that law. Just hammer home that law. The law message. And our Lord could follow it with a message of grace and mercy. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Or Elijah could come down with him. He could call down fire from heaven. And then the Lord could step up and comfort those slain sinners. That'd be good. Peter thought. Like I said, Peter thought that'd be good. Don't men still think that? They do out there. They do. Let's help. Let's just help out the message of grace. Let's help it out a little bit. Let's help out the message of faith in Christ alone. Needs just a little help. Maybe we could hold on to these people a little longer. Let's help it out. Let's just scare the hell out of them and preach hell for a while. That'll do it. That'll help it out. Let's be an Elijah for a while. Tell them what Moses said. Let's give them a bunch of do's and don'ts and keep them in here. Isn't that it? Let's help grace. Let's help the Lord out. Well, Peter was wrong, and they're wrong. It's best, mainly because our Lord said it was best, but it's best to see the law in Christ and the prophecies in Christ and not with Christ. Isn't it right? That's best. That's best. You know, somebody said the absence of something often hints of better things. And let me give you an example. If I had a heart surgery in the morning and my surgeon walked in and he had his college manuals with him, I'd probably say, let me find another doctor. That ain't, you know, you don't want him bringing his books in. The absence of those books means he's probably learned some things. Well, the absence of the law and prophets being in Christ now means it's better. So much better. Christ don't need help. We don't need to help Christ out. Just let him have his work. Like you said, let him have his work. Just have faith in him. Patience. May get down to nearly nothing somewhere. Just have patience. Patience. His work. If he shuts the door, then he shuts the door. But a man ain't going to shut the door. Wait on the Lord. Christ is all and in all. That's what Paul wrote to the Colossians. Christ is all and in all. Both men, both Elijah and Moses, both those men were men of great honor. And we use them. Like you just, we use them. They were highly used of God. But they were still men, weren't they? Both were sinners in need of this same Savior. The same Savior that saved you and I saved Moses and Elijah. Same Savior. They needed Him just as much as we need Him. So we must never allow these men and their greatness or what they symbolize, the types, or any other man or woman, Mary, none of that should ever supersede what we have in Christ. Types are good, symbols are good, but Christ is best. Christ is best. In Christ alone is the Father well pleased. Christ only is my comfort. Christ only is my master. Christ only is my guide and my reward. Substance of true religion is Christ alone. True Christianity is Christ only. Christ only is my study and my message. Sometimes folks will ask me, what do you think of this? And I'll take a little bit. But it aggravates me because it takes me away. And sometimes I'll ask an important question about, I don't know, something in the Scriptures, divorce or whatever, you know, little principles. But I quickly want to get back to Christ as being my main study. I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, so I had to stick to Christ. I'll give you the answer you want. Stick to Christ. He's my study. He's my message. Christ only is our discussion. And I was telling Paul, and I was so, and it's like this everywhere you go. You know, sometimes we get a little convicted. We have what we call a fellowship, and sometimes Christ isn't honored quite like it should be. But what's heartening is I was talking to Kelly the other day. We're talking about horses, and it wasn't long before Kelly was telling me about this new way to ground train a horse, and he brought Christ into it. You know, and these men talking about deer hunting last night, and long before the Lord came up again. Or we talk about serving in the army or something. Now, the Lord's there. The Lord did. With a believer, Christ is never far away from his conversation. He's it for us. So chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, it wasn't the splendor of this transfiguration. That wasn't what it was. It was a wonderful thing. But that wasn't it. It's not the wonder about seeing these saints again. That had to be a wonderful thing, but that wasn't it. The splendor, the wonder, the glory of it all, the life of the believer, like I just said. Now let me tell you, in the morning is going to be a bad day for us all. Because we've been, for the last 3 days, we've been as close to heaven as we can get on earth. So you're going to be down in the morning. Because I'm going to be. Aren't we? Aren't we, Paul? Aren't we? We're going to be down. We're going to be down. Because we've been as close to glory as believers can be here. But remember this. Every moment of every day, heaven to come, and throughout all eternity, it's right here in verse 8. Remember this always. Don't remember anything else. And when they had lifted their eyes, grace raised them back up. Mercy raised them back up. And when they had lifted their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus Christ only. Thank you again. Let me talk to you.